Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. We value the Bible and believe it is important to teach it clearly, remaining true to its central focus of announcing and applying the powerful and transforming news of Jesus. In short, we exist to help all people know and grow in Christ. Our hope is this teaching will do just that.
Good evening, Riverside. Pray with me as we open up God's word together. Thank you, brother. Our Father and our God, we come before you and we say thank you because your wounds have paid our ransom. Taken it all. They've taken our story. They've taken our guilt. They've taken our shame and they have paid it all. It is finished. We love you, Lord. Amen. Well, good evening. Special welcome to those joining us online. If you're new to Riverside, or maybe you're just coming to church because it's Easter week, and maybe you have a long and storied and complicated relationship with church or with God, I just want to say welcome to you. We are so glad that you are here. For context, if you've never been to a Good Friday service before, this is the time where the people of God, the church, take a moment out of our week to recount the death and resurrection of Jesus. But on Good Friday is when we actually look at his crucifixion and we go, what does this mean for me and for you if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ? So this evening we're going to look at Jesus' last words and we're going to look at what that means for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And his last words, they're captured in the Gospels, the first four chapters of the New Testament. And this evening, we're going to look at Matthew 27, verses 45 and 50. And then quickly, we're going to look at John 19, verse 30. So if you have your phone, flip over to your Bible app or get your Bible out or read with me on the back of the screen. Matthew 27, we're going to pick up in verse 45. Scripture says, until noon, until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came all over the land. At about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and grabbed the sponge. He filled it with vinegar. He put it on a staff and he offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, no, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And then Jesus cried out in a loud voice again, and he gave up his spirit. But what exactly did Jesus cry out again right before he died? Well, for that, we got to turn to the Gospel of John, which answers that in John chapter 30. It says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So our text this evening picks up from the point in the passage where Jesus had been mocked, he'd been beaten, he'd been spit at, he'd been whipped, he'd been nailed to a cross. There's a crown of thorns on his head. And around 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cries out in the original language. He says, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And crying out, he's quoting from Psalm 22, a psalm that everyone in ancient Near Eastern Israel would have been deeply familiar with. And that psalm in verse 1 of Psalm 22 starts out and it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the middle of the psalm, it reads, I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dry. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. They lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All of my bones are on display. People stare and they gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and they cast lots for my garments. Does any of this sound familiar? It should. Because that's exactly what is happening to Jesus as he is hanging on the cross on this Good Friday. Blood is pouring out from his head, his hands, and his feet. His bones are out of joint as he's hung to the cross. His mouth is dry. He is surrounded by villains. There's a thief to his left and to his right. His feet and side have been pierced. But why? Why? Why this horrific and torturous death? Why is this death of Jesus happening? The Gospel of John answers this question for us in chapter 3 of verse 16. The scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But it doesn't stop there. It goes on in verse 17. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world through sin by belief in him." By sacrificing himself on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins all at once. As he hung on the cross, as he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You can almost hear the words of the Father in heaven gently whispering to you and I this evening. "Daughter, son, because I love you. Because I love you." See, throughout the Bible, from the very beginning through the very end, we discover that our hearts, you and I, we are hardwired to turn away from God, to reject God, to live life on our own terms, to choose the things that lead to death rather than the things that lead to life. See, the Bible calls this sin. It calls this rebellion against God in our hearts. And because the character of God is justice and is fairness, sin requires death. Romans 6:26 says, "For the wages of sins, for the consequences of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was given to us as a gift from God. A gift that we don't earn or deserve, a gift that has been given because of God's immense and incredible and endless love for you and for me, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ and we've placed our faith in him this evening. But let's look at the very ending of Psalm 22 and the last words of Jesus. Psalm 22 ends with, "I will praise you. The assembly will praise you. All the ends of the earth will turn to you, including the rich and the poor, Republicans and Democrats, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, Pacific Islanders, Native Americans. All generations will say, he has done it. He's done it." John 19, verse 30, "It is finished." The gift of God in giving of his Son is not something that you and I earn or strive for or deserve. It is finished. That's a simple truth. Well, let it just get in you. Let it just sit with you for a second. He's done it. You didn't do it. It is finished. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. Winston didn't do it. Brian didn't do it. No one has done it. He has done it, because you didn't do it and you can't do it. It is finished. That line is perhaps one of the most significant and greatest things Jesus has ever said. Could you imagine if he had not said that? What if he didn't say it's finished? We'd still be here trying to earn our way to heaven, trying to try harder to do more to, God, am I okay? Are we okay? But because it is finished, we never have to worry or wonder about that. You see, Jesus' obedience is finished in perfect completion because you and I need it. His suffering is finished, and you and I need it to cover all of our sins. Jesus has finished covering sin. He has finished removing the wrath of God from his people. He has finished striking the death blow to Satan. He has established a new and perfect covenant of love for his people. He has believed for us in spite of our unbelief. He has obeyed for us in spite of our constant disobedience. And he has earned forgiveness for us in spite of our rebellion against God. Why? Because it is finished. All of your pain, all of your suffering, whatever you're carrying in here this evening, your guilt, your shame, your story, all the things that you try to hide, to cover up, to embellish, to boast in, all of your mistakes and failures, all the things that you count on as success and assurance that it's going to be okay, friends, it is finished. This is the greatest love story ever recorded. This is a story of not do. This is a story of done. It's a story of not something that you do, but rather something that he has done for you in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're wondering if you can earn your way into heaven, you can't. Jesus has done it. If you're here today and you're wondering, Eddie, you don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know where I've come from, the things that I've done, the things that have been done for me. Listen, I have to make amends. I have to make penance. I need some good karma to outweigh all of the bad karma in my life. You don't understand, friend. Listen, there is nothing that you need to do. It is finished. There is nothing that you can do to finally prove that you are good enough for heaven. Why? Because it is finished. You can't get your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't pretend your way into heaven. Friends, it is finished. He has done it. Maybe you're here this evening and you're from another country and you're struggling to learn a language. You're watching how the news and our culture is talking about immigrants and foreigners. You're struggling to understand the culture. Maybe you speak with an accent. You feel inadequate. You struggle to fit in. My friend, rest. He's done it. It is finished. All of that striving, anxiety, and worry, it's not going to get you what you're looking for. Why? Because he has done it. You don't need to do it. Maybe you're here this evening and your heart is filled with anxiety and fear over the state of our country, the state of your marriage, maybe a job, your finances, your wayward kids, your health. It is finished. Christ on the cross has overcome what you struggle to figure out, make sense of, or control. You see, the struggle of performing, the struggle of striving, of trying harder, of doing more, the exhaustion of trying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps to earn and prove to God that you are worthy, that you are deserving of love, of acceptance and approval. Friend, it's time to give up that struggle this evening. It's over. It's finished. He's done it. And because he's done it, you don't need to do it. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to hide. You don't need to pretend, posture, or perform. In Christ Jesus, you are free. You are loved. You are accepted. You are approved of. You are a daughter. You are a son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not because of who you are, not because of what you have done, but because of who he is, and because what he has done for us on the cross. Because of his great love for you and I, in that while you and I were still rebels against God, while we were still shaking our fist and calling for Jesus' death in our hearts, just days before we were worshiping, it says, Christ died for us. It is finished. So why did Jesus die on the cross? Because he sees you. He knows you. The real you. The you that you've tried to hide from and pretend all your life. He has died for you because he loves you. What does this love and death of Jesus for me mean for us today? Friends, it's simple. It means the struggle is over. You're free. From striving, from earning, from pretending, from hiding, or performing. You didn't do it. You can't do it. He has done it. And as Brian comes up here to lead our time of communion, let me just say there's an old hymn as a line that I love. I said it before, it just deeply resonates with me. It says, my heart is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. See, Christ has done it, but too often I get back in my own head thinking that I can do it, that I can earn my way, that I can try harder, that I can do more, that if I just get serious this one time, God's going to look down at me and smile. But friends, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you've placed your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you're here today, he's done it. You don't need to do it. Christ the Father is looking down at you and he's beaming with joy. He's not up there playing whack-a-mole with you. He's not up there saying, see, all the things are going wrong in your life. That's because of all the stuff you did wrong. I'm just waiting for you so I can just whack you on. That's not how God is. It is finished. He has done it. And because my heart and your heart is prone to wander, we gather as the church, as the people of God, and every so often we take communion together and we remember, we remind ourselves that Christ has done it. So as Brian leads communion, this is a time that we remember, that we reorient ourselves to the people of God, as the people of God. This is food for the journey. This is a reminder as you eat the cracker and as you drink the juice that Christ's blood has been broken. His body is shed for you because he loves you.
Thanks for joining us. If you ever find yourself in the North Lauderdale area, come check us out. For more information on services and events, visit us at 954church.com. follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching 954 Church.